Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst. The trailer booking at Billy Bones. A Paolo Di Canio. A West Ham United. More than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is More Than Just a Podcast.
Sorry, it's usually your job. It's usually your job, Sean, so I forgot to do it, sorry.
It's season 7, episode 3 already, and we welcome back George, who is on holiday this week. Where are you, George?
I am in sunny Sherwood Forest in Centre Parks.
Excellent.
Yeah, loving it.
And we welcome back our new presenter, Nigel, who I assume is in his shed.
Back in my shed. Yeah. Got the cricket on.
Tell us another fact about your shed that you didn't tell us before, Nigel.
And did I tell you a fact about my shed?
You told us lots of facts about your shed, including all the stuff you've stolen.
And you promised us another one this week, I think. So the listeners will be disappointed if you don't.
I have got hanging up nearly every mini figurine of West Ham players you can get.
Oh, sorry. Right. We want to show them.
They call them the little collectible mini figurines.
Have you got Steve Potts?
Yeah, I've got them all. I've virtually got them all. Virtually. Bobby Moore. I've got multiple Bobby Moores, Jeff Hurst, Martin Peters, all the team from the early 90s going forward.
Including Steve Potts?
Yes. Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
I've even allowed the mini Sam Allardyce.
Wow. Anyway, Nigel, enough of that. It's not a shed podcast.
It ain't.
And John, good humoured, happy John. Where are you, John?
I'm as I was before, in my loft. Oh. It seems to be my new recording area.
Yeah, do you want to tell us something interesting about your loft?
There's nothing greatly interesting about my loft. It's my loft room. It's very quiet.
Well, let's talk about some football. I am back from sunny Spain. I've just literally got off a plane a few hours ago. We didn't record yesterday because it was a bank holiday and we were depressed. But we're back today to discuss two games. And let's start with the positives. Let's start with the Cheltenham game. Did anyone make the trip to Cheltenham?
No.
Nope. No.
Did everyone watch it?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Scott.
Right, let's start with the negatives. John, tell us about Cheltenham.
I don't know. It seems like so long ago. It looked like a pretty even game, to be honest. But we managed to score and they didn't. So yeah, that's how I remember it. I wasn't overly impressed by it, but you know.
With a little bit of more in-depth analysis, Nigel.
Only back two winners this year. Yeah, Cheltenham Festival didn't pan out as it did like the year before. So, but apart from that, yeah, I thought it was okay.
And the football?
Oh, the football, sorry. I always associate Cheltenham with the horses. Look, they did what they had to do, didn't they? So there's nothing really to grumble about. We always want West Ham to progress in the Cups. We put a good team out. You know, what's there to moan about? But, well, in regards to Cheltenham game, what is there to moan about? Hey, not a lot, really.
No, better late than never, Sean.
Yeah, I know. George, please, some sensible, positive vibes from you about the Cheltenham game.
Well, I'm going to struggle to find positives, I think. I think the, obviously the wins are positive, but I feel like we should have won by more. I mean, I think if it wasn't for James Collins' immense performance at centre-back, there's a good chance Cheltenham would have got in back into that game. But, I mean, I had money on Sacco and AU to score, and they both scored, so I was happy with that.
You had money on both of them to score?
Yeah, I did them both to score bet, and they both scored, so yeah, it was good.
Well, well done.
Thank you.
How much did you win?
Only about 40-odd quid, but, you know, every little helps. Hey, that's more like it.
And that's a positive. There's a positive.
Sean, what did you tell us what you thought, Sean?
Well, I mean, I watched it. I actually watched it drinking cocktails in a hot tub in Spain. So I was only watching it on a little screen with all the bubbles. It was hard to... I couldn't hear it. I can only watch it on a like with a
some other
screen.
Couples, or was it just...
With some other couples, yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Ooh, missus.
Was that kind holiday of holiday, was it, Sean?
Yeah. You know, it was good that Sacco holiday? Scored. And I think AU scored. You know, we probably deserve more, and maybe that's a point to bring in the stats. You know, we had 63% possession. No, sorry, we didn't, because that's the wrong game. We had 66% possession, while Cheltenham had 34.
Possession to the end.
West Ham had 12 shots with 4 on target. Cheltenham had 7 on 2. Yeah, you think we should have done better, but if you look back historically, and Nigel will back us up this, we never do well against the smaller clubs. And sometimes we've come off, you know, the worst and either drawn it or lost it. So, you know, we had the disadvantage of not having it at home. We won 2-0. You know, to be honest, we should have won 3 or 4-0 by the end. You know, second half, I thought we were really dominant and that they were just devoid of ideas at the end. And we should have gone on to... But it doesn't matter, does it? We're through to the next round. We're playing Bolton at home in the London Stadium. And, you know, we could get a cup run together despite our poor league form. So a win's a win, you know. And I was hoping, I suppose, that would be the catalyst to give confidence is everything in this game, isn't it? And after two Premier League losses, I was hoping the win at Cheltenham, even though it was a lower opposition, would push us on to play one of the worst teams in the Premier League at the moment in Newcastle. And that's probably a great link to move over to the Newcastle game. Are we all over it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Oh, well, over it. Oh, I don't know. Sorry, I completely misunderstood that. I meant all over
it
what?
I was slightly depressed, actually, after watching the Newcastle game. Because there was this realisation that we haven't got any better with the transfers. This is a game, I said, when we lost against Man United, I said, doesn't mean anything. We're always going to lose. The real thing starts at Southampton. And then I said after Southampton, oh, well, that didn't really matter because Arnautovic got sent off. We made a comeback and we were unlucky to lose 3-2. We should have drawn it. And if Arnautovic had been on the pitch, I think, we would have won it. And then we have a performance against the Magpies like that, where this is a team, you know, let's go back to Southampton. Southampton hadn't scored at home for 11 hours, and yet they score against us twice in the first half. Newcastle, Rafa Benitez was the favourite or the second favourite for the sack before that game. The talk was he was going to get the chop. They hadn't scored a point. They couldn't score goals. And then they play West Ham. Everyone seems to raise their game against West Ham.
Is that, do you honestly believe that, Sean? You believe that other teams raise their game against us?
It's not just that teams
can score against us at will.
Well, I just think we fall to pieces. If there is a stat out there like they haven't scored for 11 hours, then you know that they're going to score against West Ham.
But that's everywhere. You look all over social media. There's memes and things about, you know, haven't scored, haven't done this, here comes welcome West Ham, let's just sort you out. It's become we've become a joke, haven't we? And this just seems to be the way. It all does fall that way, but it's a fact.
I think
we are.
All right, we are a joke. Well, let's I want to hear from each of you. So, John, let's start with you again. I'm not going to ask you for positives because there were none. What went wrong?
Well, I don't know. We had nothing about us again. It was, or say again, we had something about us against Southampton. We battled and then still caved in at the end. But it was just, you know, Sabaleta wasn't very good. You know, Rice made a mistake, but did he? Was it down to him? It wasn't down to him, was it? He looked pretty assured throughout the game. We can't score. We've got, you know, not a lot going on up front. We just look the same old, don't we?
Well, I'm going to ask each of you this question. Was Slaven Bilic right to take Rice off? That could destroy people's confidence, well, especially at 18.
Did he take him off because of that, or did he take him off as a tactical change to bring Lanzini into the game? But then Lanzini came into the game and gave the ball away, and they scored from that, didn't they? So, you know, you'll never know the reason particularly why did he do that because of the mistake. I doubt it, to be honest, because, you know, that mistake was made, but we still had opportunities to stop it, didn't we? It's just...
Well, we're here to speculate, and we're here to have different opinions on it. And a lot of people are saying, you know, you may have destroyed this young boy's confidence.
I'd like to think not. I'd like to think that's not the case, but, you know, it's the least of our concerns, isn't it? You know, our concerns are is that we came up against a newly promoted team who hadn't scored for ever long and got beat by three, and we look like the team that just been promoted, and we look like the team that are going to struggle, don't we? So it's not so much the what happened, it's just the way it happened, the performance that was out there. There was nothing about it.
Nigel, a follow-up from you on the analysis of the game?
He's brought Rice on. Now, Lanzini weren't fit to start the game, or he wasn't ready. Yeah, he's coming back from injury. So it's good to give him 45 minutes. So if you're going to take a midfielder off, everybody's going to bang on about no ball, blah, 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 blah. I don't think he was wrong to take Rice off to put Lanzini on. I don't think it will destroy his confidence. The kid's only 18. He's already just played two games on the spin. He's good enough to start. You still got to take him and look after him. You know, Ferguson with Giggs never threw Giggs in game after game after game. And he was probably the best teenager of his generation. So he does have to be looked after. Perhaps Bilic saw the writing on the wall. I don't know. You know, but then Lanzini comes on and did what he did. Gave the ball away over on the left-hand side. So
where did it go wrong? If you were manager for the day, Nigel, right? I know you're a know-it-all, so in football terms. What would you have done differently?
It's hard to say, isn't it? Because I'm not in charge of those players every game.
Well, I'm making you in charge. Or every day. It's one game. I'm making you in charge. You're manager for one game, Nigel.
Then I would probably have picked the same team that Bilic picked. I'll tell you, and I'll tell a lie, I wouldn't have done. I'm an old dinosaur, and I still believe 4-4-2 is a great formation with the players that we've got. I think Chicharito plays better off a good striker. Me, I'd have had Sacco up front. We've got rid of a lot of the deadwood that we bought last season, and yet Ayew, for me, he's hanging around like a bad smell. I don't see what he brings to the team.
I think he's given Ayew that chance because he spent a lot of last year injured, didn't he?
Yes. I mean, perhaps I'm being a bit harsh on Ayew. He did weigh in with some goals last season. I think he got five he made 20 games he played. So not bad. He's not an out-and-out striker. And that's the problem we've got. If you look at Chicharito, two goals against Southampton came from rebounds off the keeper. He nearly scored against Newcastle, rebound off the keeper. So he needs someone there that can do something different, make the keeper save, and he is the best, probably in the Premier League, in the 6-yard box for nipping in front and putting in the rebound. So you got to play to his strengths, because at the end of the day, football's all about goals, and he's the best person we're going to get a goal. How does he play best? Someone next to him. Sacco or Carroll. Whoever's fit, put them in next to him. They can job share. Easy done.
Yeah, George. I'll take a positive, Sean, just quickly.
Yeah. Oh, God, a positive from John. Antonio. Hang on. Wait. Go on.
Antonio again. When he gets up and running fully fit, he's going to be real a benefit again to the team, I tell you. Thank you.
There you go. A positive comment from John. George, you've been patiently waiting. What is it? Would you do anything different? You know, can we blame Bilic to say, you know, let's bring in the Snodgrass stuff as well. So Snodgrass has gone to Villa and he's come out and said, I've been played out of position. You know, obviously wasn't very happy. There's a tradition of people being played out of position, playing a certain way, the wing's not working as well. It's all building up, isn't it, to say... There's something, and I said this on the first episode, and you went, oh, and I said, there's something deeper. You know, what Chicharito, I felt a bit sorry for him. He seems to be, you know, he's a decent player, but he wasn't getting the service on Saturday. Where do you go with this, George?
Well, no, I think I agree with Nigel. You've got to play someone with Chicharito. I think I said it last week as well. You know, when he scored his second goal and he looked at his best was when he had Saka up against next to him. So I think he needs someone next to him, and I think changes maybe do need to be made in terms of Bilic. It's looking like more and more that it is not arrogance, but he's just arrogant in a way that he won't make the change that we all think he needs to make, and he keeps playing players like AU who are just not performing.
Yeah. Well, let me just do a stat attack quickly. West Ham, actually, even though away from home, had 63% of the possession. Magpies only had 37, that means. West Ham had a lowly 8 shots, only 3 of them on target, while the Barcodes had 17 shots, 8 on target, and there tells the story. They were much more active, and I have got nothing more to add that I added in the beginning, you know. I thought, and the only thing I'm going to say about this game before we hear from the person himself, I thought it was a watershed moment for fans with Slaven Bilic. You know, back in April this year, when we were losing games and there was lots of speculation it was going to be replaced by the board, something like 90% of the fans were with Slaven Bilic. We're going to talk about a poll in a minute, but there has been a massive swing the other way, where now the majority of fans don't believe he has the tactics and the experience to do the job.
That's what Nigel calls the flip-flop generation.
The flip-flop generation. And with that, let's hear from the man himself and say, sure, just sure with the gaffer, I should say.
Hello. Yeah. Very difficult one. They were better in every aspect of the game. They had simply more power, more determination. The game until the first goal was like even. You had some set pieces from them, set pieces for us, but they were better on the second balls, and they were better in transition. That we knew before that it's going to be the way they're going to play. And after that goal, we started well when we done some changes in the second half. We looked like a team that maybe is going to equalize and all that. But then again, we made a big mistake before the first goal, again before the second goal. And but they forced us with those pressing, because we didn't give the ball away out of the blue, out of nothing. They were on top of our player who was with the ball, and because they were more powerful than us in that part of the game. And after that part of the game, you have a good transition from them, and then brings you in a position when you can show your quality, and they showed it. The three guys up front, or four guys up front, they showed that pace and good quality when they were one against one on a big pitch.
How worried are you by your start of the season, three defeats?
I'm worried, you know, I'm not panicking, but it's very early, yeah, but after the game against Southampton, we lost the game, we still had 0 points and all that, but I was very, very positive with the way we play, with the way we react and all that after we won, after we were left with 10 men. This is different, this is worrying, but like for every club, it has its ups and downs, and nobody will take us out of this situation but ourselves.
Do you wish you'd had a home game?
Sorry?
Do you wish you'd had a home game inside your first three?
Of course, now I wished after three defeats, but we can't put it all down to the fact that because of athletic championships we had three away games. No.
How concerning are the individual mistakes, giving the ball away in
crucial areas? It is worrying. It is concerning, but. It doesn't have to be that every time we make a mistake, it has to be a goal. You know, still, you can make it up for the mistake. Still, we can defend better. But transition was not good. Also, okay, those kind of mistakes before the first one. I mean, it's not Declan Rice. I mean, he's been terrific and he's got a great future for the club. He's going to be a great player, but. We made a couple of those mistakes, and it is, of course, it is worrying when they score from the situation that they shouldn't be in at the first place.
I know it didn't affect the result, but there was a suggestion of an elbow by Mitrovic on Mancini. Did you see that?
Well, I didn't see it. Nobody see it because it was after. I don't know. He gave the ball.
What did you think of that, then, John?
Sean, I'm not even going to listen to it, and I don't want to listen to it then, and I'm not going to listen to it now. It's too depressing.
Yeah,
it's just too. Yeah, well, depressing.
I mean, I'll paraphrase. He said that they were better in every way. You know, he didn't try and he laughed nervously a few bits, but he just basically said, "Well, they were better in every single department."
What, as in Newcastle were?
Yeah, Newcastle were. Yeah. He's run out of excuses.
Well, what was the guy who scored? Was it scored their third goal? He should have gone off, shouldn't he?
He should have.
He elbowed. Yeah, he elbowed Lanzini, didn't he? Pretty much the similar thing that Arnautovic did. So
yeah, but
goes against us, doesn't it?
Yeah. You can take that away, even with 10 men, right? I still don't think we could have beat them on Saturday.
It was a warning performance in that sense because. I think even, like you say, even with 10 men, we didn't look like we were going to score a goal, let alone beat them. So, yeah, that's what's really concerning. I mean, it's. I think, John, you said it earlier, it's not what happened, it's how it happened, and it's the fact that Newcastle are the newly promoted team, and they go against us, who are supposed to be a sort of... We're there, we're in the Premier League, we have been for a few seasons now, and we're supposed to be the ones that can put in performances better than that, not the other way around.
And, yeah, and here we are with our Zabaletas and our Joe Harts and our Hernandez is in the team. You know, everyone sort of saying what great business and things, but maybe it's not so great business.
Well, let's move on because, as I said, I've just come back from Spain. As I got off the plane, I've been a bit out of touch in my normal blogging sphere with Clarence Hughes. So I gave Hugh Southern a call and said... What's been going on, Huey? And so I recorded a 15-minute interview just before we went live today. And this is what he had to say.
And we welcome back to More Than Just a Podcast. He's my partner in crime, or I'm his partner in crime, on Clarence Hugh. It's Hugh Sutton, or Huey, as he likes to be called.
Absolutely.
I've just got off a plane, haven't I, Huey? And I said, I know, I've been missing out on the news for the last week, so for me and our listeners, I want an update. What's the latest with Slaven Bilic? What's the latest with Carvalho? What can you tell us, Kiwi?
Well, I think you've probably picked the right week to be away, Sean. I don't know whether you managed to see the weekend game, but it was utterly horrendous, totally horrendous. And, of course, the fallout from it has not surprisingly been pretty dramatic. As I understand things at the moment, Slaven has been given about 4 games, could be as few as 3, to turn this thing round. But honestly, mate, where you start, I honestly don't know. I just don't know where you start. It was as bad a performance as anyone can describe, and I don't really want to describe it. It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. I don't know whether I was more disappointed or more bored. It was just awful, mate. Dreadful.
So we did a Clarence Hugh poll, and over 3,200 voting. And I'm just having a look at the latest stats. I don't think they've changed.
No.
73.99. So 74%, 2,400, won in gone. Only 560, which is just over 17%, want to keep him. And just under 9%, 8.79%, 286, want him to stay. That's pretty damning. If you remember last time when there was speculation back in April, I think it was the reverse. In fact, I think it was as many as 90% wanted it to keep him. Massive change of fortunes for the Croatian.
Yeah, I mean, and at the outset, of course, if you recall, let's not try and pretend that Claret and Hugh polls are significant. They give, but I do think they provide a regular view. But I mean, if you recall, when we were having polls as to who was to replace Big Sam, he was as big a favourite then as he is wanted out now. I think it was about the same sort of percentage with Rafa Benitez in second place. So you have to ask the question, really, what do we know? You know, I just think people can see. I mean, you don't have to be a football expert to see that you cannot have two fullbacks hugging the touchline, which is what happened on Saturday, creating big holes in behind. But Sean, I'm going to say this because I want to get it off the chest, and I've written as much in one of the fans' magazines this month. I was always, and I've always been, a Slaven man. But something happened on Saturday afternoon which, I don't know, I found it absolutely unforgivable, if I'm honest with you, because I personally think that Declan Rice, as you know, we've spoken about it privately, is one of the finest young footballers to come through the academy, possibly in Britain, in recent years. He made one error. It led to a goal. And when you look back at it, you wonder where his midfield support was. He was left alone. And the result was, on an afternoon when everybody was performing really seriously badly, Slaven Bilic chose to pull him off at half-time. Now, I'm sorry, but how far has that set back a teenager? We've all done 18 years of old. We all know how impressionable we are at that age and how we can suffer setbacks. And I just thought it was a cruel and, if you like, dishonest thing to do, because the rest of the team were performing just as poorly.
Yeah.
So
I watched it as well.
No more than Mr. Nice Guy for me on that one. But go on, sorry. Yeah.
So away from the opinion, what do we know? Obviously, like from Spain, I saw the Sky News footage of David Sullivan arriving in his roller and Slav arriving before that. I think the West Ham ladies match was being played on Sunday. What do we know? What do the Clarence Hughes senior sources say? What went on that meeting and what really is going to happen? Is he a dead man walking or has he really got a chance to save himself?
He's got a chance to save himself, I suppose. I guess, you know, that if we come out against Huddersfield and we win reasonably okay, then suddenly everything starts changing and the majority against starts reducing. I think there is a very, very depressed feeling, Sean, in the boardroom. There's no two ways about that. And I personally feel that he was never really, truly the first choice there. I don't think that anybody would be surprised if he was gone within the next 3 or 4 games.
You've got
to start winning games, Sean. He's got to start winning games.
Well, what do you think the bar is? You know, if he wins Huddersfield but loses 3 more, Does he need to lose two games, three games?
Who knows? I mean, who knows? I mean, at the moment, we've lost three games on the trot. We lost against the Newcastle team, which wasn't of great quality. They were willing and they ran, but we looked so disorganised, Sean. We were still playing people out of position. And I guess if you're asking me that sort of question, I would say that a minimum requirement from the next three games would be 4 points. I mean, that's the first thing that comes into my mind, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I do know that they're very depressed. And there wouldn't have been critical Sunday afternoon meetings, if that's what you want to call them, unless there was something fairly critical going on.
Time, let's move on to, do you think they've got anyone lined up? What is their plan B? Tomorrow and he falls on his sword and says, do you know what, I'm an honourable man, this isn't working, I'm going to walk. Where do they go?
Well, where they go, I mean, the problem again, you see, is that they've got a manager who has appointed his own backroom staff. There is no natural successor. Because he would take them all with him, if that's the way you want to put it. They would go with him, to put it that way. So what are you left with? Your options are very limited. You can't go out and say, Rafa, leave Newcastle now and watch that happen. You can't actually do that with any manager that's employed. You would either have to go for somebody who is unemployed. I hate to have to say this, Sean, but it could be David Moyes, couldn't it? He was the first favourite for the job. Possibly.
Yep.
But that could be a short-term appointment. Or you turn to Terry Wesley, because there's nobody else available. And I don't mean that disrespectfully to Terry. There is nobody else available. And you say, look after it for 3 or 4 weeks whilst we find a caretaker manager until the end of the year. That it could have been, couldn't it? Claudio Ranieri. But he's cleared off to Nantes. He was appointed by them in June. So you've got the likes of Moyes. I don't know whether McLaren's employed. You've even got Gus Hiddink, but he's 71, bless him. Sean, I'm going to be honest, I don't think there's a plan. I don't think there's ever been much of a plan, to be honest with you. I mean, I think when we appointed Slaven, it was more in hope than judgment, if I'm honest, because there was nobody else around at the time. Where they go from here, options are very limited, mate, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, let's move on to transfer news, because we're coming up to the end of the transfer. Obviously, Carvalho seems to have gone tipped up while I've been away. And I know you run an exclusive while I'm away, that really we've drawn a line in the sand now. What can you tell us about that? Do you see they're going to do a U-turn?
I know you've only just got off the plane, but I did a little update earlier, which was basically that they will not. There's £5 million between them. It's where it was when I wrote the initial story, that we're £5 million away from them. We are not going to up the money. It will have to be a Sporting Lisbon U-turn. In the meantime, there has been a story circulating today that Monaco are interested because his former manager or coach, whose name escapes me, sorry, is there at the moment and he fancies him. Now, it seems to me a very convenient story at a very convenient time, and it sounds to me as though it's been planted by agents in the hope that West Ham may hurry it up, but they're not going to. They're just not going to. And look, to be honest, given Slaven's situation, are they going to go to £43 million to back a manager who's standing on the brink? I wouldn't have thought so, would you?
No. That was one of my points is, you know, if they haven't got confidence in him, why are they going to invest any more? Because, you know, it's not quite working out. I think we all have belief in Chicharito. But Zabaleta has had some dodgy moments, and you know, with the likes of Font, Snodgrass gone. I mean, I did hear a rumour, and this is another question, that Palace were interested in Font for £8 million. It's just something I picked on social media. Any truth in that? As far as
we ran that story. I can see something in that because I did have it confirmed by a senior source. Sorry, guys. Earlier in the week, that they had indeed been interested in Adrian, but that's all gone. So Palace and ourselves do have a link, because some lovely guy on social media said, how about doing a swap with James Tompkins, which works for me, I have to say. I think there's probably something in that. Hello?
Yeah, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, sorry. He used to be at Palace, of course. And, you know, with De Boer having had three defeats on the trot, and I think not a goal scored, that's got the ring of truth about it. I've not asked anybody. I'm just letting that one run because there's no point. We should know by Thursday anyway. But it makes a bit of sense. It certainly makes a bit of sense.
Well, we've got two more days of the transfer. So, you know, it's we're recording this on Wednesday the 29th. Obviously, transfer window is Thursday the 31st, slam shut. What do you think? I mean, I know this is speculation. Any more business to be done in the next 2 days, inbound or outbound?
Possibly outbound. Not sure where. I can't, honestly, Sean, I can't honestly see anything happening given the manager's position. I mean, I guess it's possible. I think we've got one loan to fill, haven't we?
Yeah.
I think we've got two in at the moment. I guess something could happen there, but I've not been told. Unless Lisbon do it. See, the other problem with Carvalho is that I'm being told by a lot of people, I must be honest, I don't know his game all that well. You know, I know of him and I've seen him play once or twice, but how good or bad he is, I don't know. But a lot of very good judges have claimed to me that he's too slow for the Premiership, that he just hasn't got the pace. And I think his own manager has said that, you know, it'll come as a culture shock if he does go to West Ham. So are we going to buy anything else? Are we going to buy anybody else under Slaven?
How about the Valencia's central defender? I know that there was the rumour.
What, the Tunisian?
Yeah, the Tunisian guy.
Whose name is almost as unpronounceable as Arnautovic when I first started trying to resist it. Arnautovic. I love it. That's all. Yeah, I got it wrong with Arnautovic, didn't I? Yeah. No, I think that's just one of those silly rumours that's been, again, probably planted by an agent or made up as a result of the Carvalho situation.
Yeah.
You know how it works, Sean. You know, agents, last few days of the winter, they're chucking names around and, you know, I have to agree with all the guys on social media who have said, Carvalho, no, Chris Smalling. That's what we need. We need a central defender. You know, Sean, you know, this, I was about to say it ain't rocket science, but I mean, that's such a cliche, but honest to God, I mean, when you've shipped 10 goals in three games, doesn't the penny kind of start to go clunk that we might just need another defender?
Yeah.
Not somebody to protect them, because at the moment, none of them are performing particularly well anyway, and it's one of them that needs replacing. I mean, had Chris Smalling truly been available, I don't know why we didn't go for it.
Yeah. Well, I was about to say never with David Sullivan, because he likes a last-minute bargain. And if one comes up on transfer deadline day, little plug for Karen Yu, keep tuned this week for anything that comes up in the last 24 hours, because it's usually a crazy day. We'll be linked with, I'm sure, with everybody in and out. I'm sure the Lanzini stories will surface and then disappear. As Jim White on Sky Sports tries to make a bit of an entertainment of the final day, and the crazy season will be over come Thursday, and then we've got an international break, haven't we? And then back to normality for Huddersfield.
Must be frank, Sean. Before we finish this, I've got to say that, and I don't want to be depressing to anybody out there, and we're depressed enough as it stands, but I do actually believe that our problems go far deeper than another signing. You know, I mean, they're a team of individuals. They're not passing the ball properly. They're being dispossessed in midfield. They're not creating chances. I feel so sorry for Chicharito. I mean, there is nothing going out of midfield to him whatsoever. High balls from the back. You know, and I'm going, well, we haven't got a striker up there of the nature to thrive off high balls anyway, and are we going back to the sand days? I mean, it doesn't look to me as though we're getting anything out of Chicharito at the moment. And he's played games on the left wing. And you're going, what?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah. It's not looking too good. We love to be depressed as West Ham fans. I'm just going to push you for a last question. A prediction for Huddersfield, our first home game, back in the London Stadium after the international break. I want a scoreline. If to push you on a prediction on what you think that will happen there.
On form, or what my heart's saying, I'll give you the two if you like.
Yeah, give me two.
My heart is saying 1-1. My head is saying, on the basis of what I've seen from West Ham and the way Huddersfield has started, sorry, mate, another defeat. Unless he can just work some sort of miracle. But we have heard it so many times before. Oh, we will get the cohesion. We will sit down as a squad. We will sort this out. I will get into the lads. They're great on the training pitch. You know, the words are beginning to just have no real meaning for me, to the point where I have to say, surely, since you've been away, yeah, I have been taking the wee-wee a little bit out of some of the quotes that have been coming out on the website. Because I just find it silly, and I've perhaps been around too long to listen to this nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, they've got to start performing, Sean. They've just got to. They've just got to start performing. And you look at Arnautovic, and you go, £24 million for a guy who joined us for £2 million, came into British football for £2 million, red carded in his second game, and yet Slaven tells him this is a man who was scouted for months and months and months. Well, didn't we understand what kind of personality this boy had? But anyway, we can go on all night, and I don't really want to. I'm depressing myself now, mate. So,
anyway, Huey, good to hear your voice. Thank
great
you
to hear yours again, mate. Back from Spain.
I'm sure we'll be having our editorial meeting tomorrow morning to discuss all the latest news on Claren Hugh. You can tune in www.clarenhugh.info. Cheers, Huey.
Yeah. Cheers, buddy. Take care. Bye.
So there you go. I'm not going to say what you think of that, John, because I know you haven't heard it.
Yeah, no,
but I'm going to ask you the same questions. You know, Slaven Bilic, Cavalio, Font, and the Snodgrass angle. Where do you sit on the? You know, and I'm gonna phrase these questions to begin with. So Slaven Bilic, you know, has got 4 or 5 games left. Is the word on the street around the industry to save his skin? The Font is wanted by Palace. Should we let him go? Well, there seems to be some truth in it. Yeah, senior sources have confirmed that there's been an inquiry, not a bid as yet.
Hand off.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. And Carvalho, you know, are we right to draw the, you know, you heard what David Gold said last week, which is, you know, people will always say, pay him what he wants, pay him what he wants. But we're £5 million apart, as Hugh just said on there. Should we go that extra mile when he's not match fit? The manager's job is in doubt, and this is, again, a manager pick. I know I'd like to hear your view, John, on those three things. Where do you stand with Slaven Bilic to begin with?
I think we've just got to give him the season, be honest with you. I can't see any reason why to change it now. You know, they backed him with these players. They should back him with Carvalho, and they should give him the season. Obviously, if it's all falling apart rapidly by Christmas, then look at it again. But, you know, all this talk is undermining again, isn't it? Undermines, and it doesn't do anything to help.
I don't know when he will get the sack, or will he, wherever he will get the sack. All I will tell you is I have been told he will not be offered a new contract.
Well, I mean, then if they are concerned about it, or, you know, they should have done something over the summer. They should have had a backup ready to go. If this scenario was to happen, they're not happy with him. They should have the courage of their own convictions, sack him and get someone else in, shouldn't they? Instead of this speculation, again, it undermines, it doesn't help anything.
I won't disagree.
That's that. Font, if someone wants Font, I'd let them have him all day long. And Carvalho, to say that he's not match fit and that's just a bit of nonsense, really.
Should we go the extra £5 million then?
I don't know, what's our net spend, Sean? Was it something like 10 or 12
net
mil?
Net spend is about 13 million.
So, you know, it's not, you know, if you're going to spend another 30, or I heard on the Talk Sport the other day that they were quibbling over the fact they want 20 mil up front and we weren't willing to do that. So what is the element? What's the breakdown of the deal? Is he that? You know,
they want it over 2 years. They want 20 million up front, and the rest of it in 2018. Sullivan likes to do deals over 3 or 4 years in instalments. He doesn't want to put so much up front, but there's still a £5 million difference in the valuation. But, you know, all these big clubs have come in for him and said no in the end, and there has to be a reason.
Today that Monaco are in for him, so if that's the case.
Yeah, we talked about that with Hugh earlier about Monaco. Whether that's true or not, who knows? But
he could be our Kante, couldn't he? He could be the one who screens the back line and improves the whole thing. You don't know, so he could be that integral. But for £5 million, do they want to do it? I don't know. It's down to them, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, let's move on to Nigel, because I know he's still a Slav lover and doesn't agree in all this undermining of Slav.
No, I don't.
Stick with your manager is what you would say, wouldn't it?
Yes, that is what I would say. I mean, all this, I've been told he ain't going to give a contract. I mean, the fact that someone's told you that, for me, is disgraceful. I'm sorry. What must he feel? The constant undermining that goes on. And they've done it to every manager. And this is what I don't understand. People think, let's say we do get rid of Bilic, where are we going to attract a top-class manager that's going to work with those three? Bearing in mind everything that goes on in the background. I can't see a manager coming in during the season if we're bottom of the table, even though I suppose that's how managers work, isn't it? They all think they can do better.
We talked about the only ones available are people like Pardew, as long as we lock up a lot of the pretty ladies, and Moyes.
There you go, isn't it?
Winners.
Winner, chicken dinner.
The only thing I will say is, yes, I will back Bilic to the end. I think if he loses against Huddersfield, then it will be too much. I think
it'll be untenable, won't it?
I was going to say, how many games? He's lost three Premier League games.
He's lost three away games. Hold up. Right, now, let me caveat this. Hold up, no, because I'll tell you, how many times have we lost away to Newcastle, to Man United and Southampton in the same season? I bet it's a few times.
On the coverage of Newcastle, they said we haven't won at Newcastle for
God knows how many years and all this sort
of stuff.
We won
there recently. We've won we've won three times in the last 20 years at Newcastle. Man United, I think, is roughly the same record. And Southampton, it's a bit infrequent. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. But if you look back to Billich's first season, which was a great success, seventh spot, we took 1 point out of those three away games. 1 point. So
that's my point, though. All right, we've had three away games, granted, okay? You know, I would say that the Southampton were there for the taking. Newcastle, we should have been there for the taking. If we lose against Huddersfield, or get a point against Huddersfield, and lose or get a point against West Brom, that's one of the worst starts we've had in a long time. And I think I said, the last time we lost three games in a run, we got relegated in 2010.
Yeah, but they weren't all away, as I said.
They weren't all away. But do you see the away form and go, and the way we're playing at the moment, and just think we're going to play at the London Stadium, and that wonderful stadium you love so much, and things are going to change for us?
Well,
back at you, Nigel, no, because you always say it's like playing away when we play at the London Stadium. So every game's away.
Yes, yes. If we was at the Bowling, I think it'd be different at the London Stadium. Ah. Maybe it is. I don't know. It's a tough one, because Huddersfield, people worried now, because we all thought they were shoo-ins to go down, probably with Brighton, the three teams that come up. Now we're looking, Huddersfield took 7 points and nine.
Yeah.
And the problem is, that's cranked up the pressure. So it's all the pressure. And this is where we'll see how good Billich is. If he can take the pressure, and if we can come out with a win. If he loses, I would not vote sack him, but I can see it happening.
All right, let me ask you one last question before we move to George. Would you back him to the end of the season, even if it means relegation?
I'm 50-50.
Oh, good question,
Sean. Well, I'll tell you what I'd say. I would give him till the middle of December, because the transfer window's the key. You can buy yourself out of it. You can buy yourself out of trouble in January. So I would give him probably till the end of November and see where we are then.
George,
if he only takes 1 point in the next four games, he's a goner. That's okay.
So it's not unconditional love, Nigel, just to make this clear. There are strings attached with your love for Billich.
No, my love for Billich stays, but I can understand that if he does this, he's a goner. Because people like you and all the other people will put so much pressure on the owners that they will be forced to act.
Excellent. That will be our title. George.
Yes.
So, have you got any? What's your view? I know you like to sit on the fence, but you must have a view on this. But the Billich, should he go? Has he run out of ideas?
Well, honestly, I mean, I really like Slaven Billich. I like him as a person, and I liked what he's done over the last 2 years. But it's a frustrating time to be a West Ham fan, more than usual, I'd say. I feel like we do need a change. I think we've all been patient with him. I think how many games? I think going into last season, we've only had something like 5 wins in 20 odd games, or there's a stat like that. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Five wins in 24 games.
So, that's just not good enough, is it? It's just not.
No.
And I mean, as I said, I really like the bloke, and I really always wanted him to be a success at West Ham. And in the years before he came to us, he was always the option that we always said, why not get him in? Give him a go. So I always wanted him to do well, but I mean, five wins in 24 games in the Premier League is just not keeping your job form, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, look, we would always agree he's a passionate guy. He's West Ham, you know. You can see he feels it. His emotion to the game, but I just think he's been found out. This whole tactics, playing people out of position. He just hasn't got, and I've supported him for a long time, but I don't think he can take us to the next level, wherever that next level would be. And I'm going to criticise the board now. Surprisingly or not, I'm going to criticise the board. I think they're being too indecisive. I don't want him to give it. What's going to change in four or five games, you know? All I see is, oh, well, we get a point here, we get a point there. And it just drags on and drags on. If they're going to be decisive, right, and they think it's Huddersfield and they should make a decision. If he loses Huddersfield, or we just don't turn up and we get a draw, nil-nil draw, I think you should say, nah, enough's enough. That's I don't want four or five games at the end of September. I just think is, you know, be decisive, board. Make your decision and stick to it. My concern is it will just drag on and drag on because they're worried about compensation. They're worried about, oh, who will we bring in? Make a decision and stick to it and make it and deal with the consequences.
Yeah.
Well said, I agree. Sean. I agree. They don't like giving compensation, do they? They gave compensation to Cheltenham, but they wouldn't give it
no,
to
they don't
the
like
travelling fans, would they? I saw that as a WISA member. they refused to
refuse
to give any compensation to the West Ham travelling fans who had to travel. Which was a really nice touch. They really know how to bond with their fan base, don't they?
Well, you set a precedent. Everybody knew it was going to be a way to begin with.
No.
Go on.
That's not right, is it?
They did. Before they bought the tickets to Cheltenham, they knew it was going to be away. So don't try and dress it up as something else.
It's not dressing it up as something else. Hold up. We got drawn at home. We now had to play away. So the 900 fans that went had to pay to go more money, possibly, unless they lived in Cheltenham or around there. They had to pay more money to go and see that game than they should have done. Therefore, the club should have offered them some type of softener. Buy them a pie and a pint. Clubs have done that before.
I know,
something.
But they knew this before they bought it. It wasn't a change afterwards.
Hold up, and but this is something the club should do, Sean. This is rubbish that they've given compensation to Cheltenham. Well, Cheltenham knew if the draw was made, they'd have to play the game at home. But because they were out of pocket, they get money. So the away fans that have now travelled are out of pocket because they should have watched it in Stratford. So therefore, why not do that? It shows the mark.
They'd rather give money to
Cheltenham fans than West Ham fans.
Well, they didn't anyway, and you know the compensation. I think WISA. I'm a member of WISA and I support WISA, but I think they should choose their battles. And trying to write to the club and doing a cheap PR stunt afterwards.
Hold up. This ain't no cheap PR stunt. This is what proper fans want to deal with, Sean. People that go to the game, that have gone and travelled to the game. This is what WISA's there for, to speak.
Let me ask you a question.
Let's have a look at this. The club ignored it at first, and they rung up the chairman of WISA an hour or 2 hours before kickoff. That's disrespectful to WISA for a start. Right. And that's the way they treat us.
Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you one honest question about this, right? How many WISA members wrote to the committee to complain about the travelling costs of the away games?
That's got nothing to do with it, Sean, because we're here to represent as many fans.
I'm just answering a question.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to behave like a politician now. And I'll say, we are here to represent all West Ham fans, whether they're WISA members or not. Obviously, the more people join WISA, the better. Yeah,
the board are elected to represent us, so we don't argue in every case. They're there to represent us as they see fit now, because they've all been voted in.
And I have no problem with that. What I just say is they've got to pit their battles with the club. In this particular case, we knew this was going to be a away game. It was switched, and therefore anyone who bought a ticket knew that they would have to travel to Cheltenham. And to say you need to be compensated. Now, if it was the other way round, if they bought tickets and then it was switched, I would have more sympathy and say, yeah, actually, they should put on free travel or give something. But I think you set a precedent when you say, well, okay, where does it stop? There's no precedent.
Because apparently this is never going to happen again. So there's no precedent to be set. Yeah? It was simple. This was an unusual
place. Well, it will happen, because if we qualify for Europe, you know already.
Oh, I sent you that.
I know that. I've always known that. If we qualify for Europa, it's always been the case. we will not be able to play Europa games first. I mean, group stages we will, but if we qualify for the early stage Europa, we will never be able to play at home.
That's going well, wouldn't it?
So if we do that,
they told
if we qualify
that
for the
before
first,
we moved.
Right, if we qualify for Europa, do you want them to compensate the travel to some European destination?
Yes.
Because you've already done it from Cheltenham. Really?
Yes.
Oh, no, Sean, you're wrong. It's all about the home game. Yeah, we got drawn at home to Cheltenham. So therefore, when we play in Europe, we'll play the away. You know they'll do a deal. We'll play the away leg first. When it comes to the second leg, the home leg, if they can't play at Stratford, where are they going to play it?
Well, they would have, again, they will have a dispensation. They play at, I don't know, Wembley or Leigh Orient.
So
we've
got to go to Wembley.
Millwall.
So Wembley's going to cost them more money to
Millwall.
Get to.
Let's go to the Den.
Let's move on, Sean, because you're just
winding us up.
All right, we move on. I think if I'm getting it right, and I'm paraphrasing here, George, myself, and John are saying time's up if now or in the very near future, and Nigel, you're saying you want to give him to November.
Oh, I said Christmas.
You said Christmas, okay.
But I think if he loses against Huddersfield, it's going
to
happen.
I think it all comes down to the next Monday night.
Okay. I don't know. It's probably time for this.
For what?
Facebook Twitter question time.
Facebook Twitter question time.
Oh, you used the new one, Sean. Use the new one.
I did, yeah, I did. Sorry, I didn't have it loaded and I just realised, so I had to quickly do that. But I'm sure it will be fine in the editing, won't it?
No, I'm going to leave that in for comedy effect.
Okay. So earlier, George, have you got Facebook in front of you?
I do. Whose phone's ringing?
Oh, that's mine. I'm sorry.
Oh, shock.
Shock horror.
It's the club ringing up to thank him for his defence.
it's from his senior source.
Sean, do you want me to read these out then?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So earlier on More Than Just a Podcast Facebook page, which is facebook.com/morethanjustapodcast, I said, we're back recording today at 5 p.m. Where are we going wrong? Is Slav the only one to blame? Send in any questions or comments below and we'll read them at 5 p.m. Paul Sanders says, honestly, who really cares? Who gives a monkeys if we're Champions League contenders or relegation fodders? I've been going to watch the games live for literally decades and not once have I actually believed by the 89 minutes, 59 seconds at Cardiff that we'll do more than have a lucky win against a top six opposition. One day we might win something, and believe me, I'll celebrate like crazy, as we all will. But please, people, don't forget we are West Ham United, and if you wanted champagne European football, I'm afraid you've signed up for the wrong club.
Hear, hear.
He was right there.
And Nigel, absolutely. Nigel, you come in saying, spot on, Paul.
I did.
Mark Bright says, how Gold and Co. can't see that the team aren't playing for Slav anymore is beyond me. Saturday was proof. On paper, we have a great team, but something stinks and reminds me of the fall of the special one when he got sacked. Their team was great, and look what happened, player power won. I fear for the Huddersfield game, and if we do lose that, surely Slav will be getting his marching orders. I think he will be. More Than Just a Podcast commented, but it wasn't me, so Sean, I'm guessing it's you. Ask Nigel if it is true he begs Sean not to run a Clarence Hugh poll on Billet.
Yeah, it was true. I did. I did beg him.
Is Sean there, or has he gone quiet?
He's on the phone.
I'm still here.
Okay. I begged him because I think it undermined, and they help undermine the manager. He will say it's for information purposes, but it just helps with the civil war between the fans. In my opinion.
David White says Bilic has to go. Enough is enough. But who would you guys replace him with?
Yeah, Pardew or Moyes.
Well, Terry Westley.
It. There you go. Exactly it. Terry Westley, you reckon?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see.
Gary Prince says, can you name a better manager than Slav that would happily come in and work with the current board and bring success?
No.
I think we just sort of answered that one. He also says, question for new stadium-loving Sean. Do you think that the move forcing us to play 4 away games in a row has contributed to our early season problems? Well, I think I can answer that for you, Sean. You don't think it has, do you?
No, well, I think that we've had our problems playing at home as well. And, of course, you know, playing 4 away games is not ideal.
All that travelling and everything it entails as well on the team.
But I don't think you can blame... I think all of us here say you can't just blame it. When you look at the shape of the team and you look at the performance, let's not kid ourselves that we're just going to turn into an amazing team when we play Huddersfield on Monday.
No, we're not. But historically, we've not been a very good away team anyway, have we?
We did on Bilic's first season. Yeah,
that was that one. But, you know, under Redknapp and stuff, we barely ever won away, did we?
Yeah, I know, but we won under Bilic. So Bilic got a bit of a giant killer reputation, you know, on away games. So, look, you can't deny it's been a factor, and let's not overreact. But I still believe we're in trouble at home.
Hey.
Sergey Novish says, well, same question after 3 games. Swap Bilic for Pardew, anyone? Anyone? Any takers?
No, not for me.
No.
Lock up your women.
Nick Harvey says, has to be down to Slav. Midfield offer no protection to the defence and the defence look clueless. No creativity in possession. Lack of pressing when out of possession. Fitness levels questionable. Squad lacks balance. And despite signings to date, we're only 1 or 2 injuries away from another crisis. Board should have seen the signs last year, and giving him another 4 games is only delaying the inevitable. You can say that about any manager, really, delaying the inevitable, can't you?
Yeah.
Taffy Wallback, good name, says, we cannot get rid of Bilic. 3 games away from at start of the season isn't good for anyone. One was against a team we expected to lose to. Another was a team that hadn't scored in a million years, but hey, that's the West Ham way. And the last was purely because we seemed to have set up as a counter-attack inside, but in reality, we should have gone at Newcastle straight from the off. And on Twitter, at More TGA Podcast, we had David Yems, who says, he shouldn't quit. The board should have the balls to sack him. His last chance for me is a win against Huddersfield. Then his patience is gone. I think a lot of people feel like that. And then Funky Coolers says, the decision should have been taken for him, rudderless, lethargic and spineless. I assume he's talking about the board there. So that's Facebook Twitter question time, Sean.
Yeah, and let's not undermine the manager any more than we've
than you done, have
than we have done already.
Don't call
which
it
I
weak.
Suppose you're part of the institution now, Nigel. And despite your attack at me with your mock of the week, do you want to promote your mock of the week YouTube channel, Nigel?
It's just a bit of fun. I have a look around all week at the social media people on the internet, and then I poke fun at them in the best way that I know how to, which is to mock them. So there it
Bully.
Is. Bully, yeah. No, it's just the fun. Most of them take it in good. Most of them take it well, to be fair. So it's just to bring a bit of lightness, even though I must admit, episode 5, you can find it on YouTube if you just look for Mock the West Ham WHU Week. It was a tough one, and I nearly didn't put it out because there's so much negativity about. But then I thought, well, it might lighten the mood. So, okay.
I did like the Scottish Bus one.
Yes.
With Gio.
Yes. Well, you know... Gio took it well. I did tell him I was going to run with it, find as many Scottish jokes as I could. So,
And you breach my confidentiality, in my view, by taking unedited raw footage of my interview with David Gold and releasing it without my permission. My lawyers are looking at this very carefully, Nigel, and we're deciding on a course of action. I'm not going to say any more than that.
Well, to be fair, I first thought, all right, then when I listened to it, it sounded like you called David Gold a see you next Tuesday. And that's why I put it in. And I thought, shall I highlight that? And I thought, no, actually, let me just highlight something else.
Do you briefly, before we do our predictions, do you want to tell, because I know you sent this to me, when I did a column for West Ham Till I Die, and I did the David Gold interview, what did Florida Hammer say, who doesn't like me very much, what did he say about my piece with David Gold?
What he said was, he said, before I begin, let me just say I appreciate Sean, Brando's in there, and the work he does on various, but let's get serious. I listen to the podcasts when they come out. I listen intently to various DGE interviews, and to be frank about it, Sean, you simply got away with throwing him full tosses that he smashes out of the park. I'm glad for one thing that you got a proper lad on more than just a podcast team now in Nigel. I didn't write this, honestly. I might disagree with a lot of what Nigel says, but at least he says it and does things with conviction and honesty. Sean, you're up there simply starstruck with Gold, and you never ask him any hard-hitting questions. Where's the accountability? We move for more money. It's not being spent wisely. Why all this garbage on the seating? You don't have to be the bloody club stooge your whole life, Sean. Grow a pair, mate. Send a real man like Nigel to do the right job, please.
See, I've given that airtime to prove. I think I did ask him some. Look,
oh, go away.
If I'd have asked him the questions you would have liked to ask him or Florida Hammer, let's be honest, the interview wouldn't happen.
He would have done it.
Disrespectful. So, you know, I got him to answer questions on the interest, which is probably controversial. I did it in a nice way, but I stand by the interview.
But is that right? Is it right that he would only talk to fans that ask him right questions? I wouldn't be disrespectful.
He never gave any conditions.
That's what I'm saying.
He didn't ask for editorial control. He didn't say, what are you going to talk about? We're not going to talk about that. There was no... But is he gonna say... I'll ring him up and say, Nigel Khan wants to interview you. And he'll say, are you mad?
I'm
not sure he'd take it. I don't know until I ask. Maybe I will ask him. I say, will you take an interview from Nigel Khan?
A respectful but difficult... because if he's a man of conviction, if he's a man that believes in what he's done is right, then he will stand up to... Now, believe me, I've had a conversation with him, and yeah. I'll give him the respect. He did stand up to me. You know, he stood there for 15 minutes, and we went toe-to-toe. So I think, in a way, you've protected him and not David Gold himself.
Okay. I'd rather
Nigel interview Brady.
Okay, well, I will be talking to the Baroness soon, and I will ask her whether she... Well, I'll be asking her to do an interview for more than just a podcast, but I will ask, what's the chance of Nigel doing it? I promise you that.
Well, she's got an ego. She can take me on. She should be able to shut me. She shut me up once, and then NSA beat me.
I remember it. I was there. Yes. I remember Riley. Anyway, we must move on. Predictions, please. I think we've only got one, although obviously the Huddersfield game is going to be on a Monday, so we might have to do it on a Tuesday. But let's do predictions for Huddersfield. John?
I believe we will win 1-0, a very nervy evening.
Nigel?
3-0 win.
I'm going to go for a 2-1. I think we're going to go 1-0 down. Everyone's going to be disgruntled and unhappy at half time, and we're going to come out and turn it on.
And I'm going to go for a draw 1-1.
And just in terms of podcasts, I think we should do an outside broadcast, first one of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
Perhaps we could get on the boats after the game and do it, Sean.
Maybe, yeah, I'll sort it out. I'm going to the match day tours with James. I've been invited as a guest. I did have 4 tickets for all of us, but no one else wants to come and do the tour. So at the moment, I've got 3 spare tickets. If anyone wants to come with me,
just do a competition.
Yeah, maybe I should do a competition on the Facebook group.
Yeah, that'd be good.
But it is a Monday, isn't it? A day off work to do it, isn't it? So you have to be able to do it.
Come on, let's not lie. Sean's got no mates apart from you lot. He can't rustle anyone up to go with him.
He has to recruit them via a competition.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that's all we've got time for. I've been Sean. George has been...
Sorry, was that me?
Yeah,
sorry.
It's you, George.
I've been George in the middle of a forest of bad Wi-Fi, so sorry.
John has been...
Happy. Thank you very much.
And Nigel has been...
Angry.
Ooh.
That's it. It's goodbye. And I suppose we just got to do this.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst. The trailer booking at Billy Bones. A Paolo Di Canio. A West Ham United. More than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Of course, that was the wrong one. It should have been this one. Don't let me host. Come on, you are. Don't let me host. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.